you got?
Well, there's egg and bacon, egg, sausage and bacon, egg and spam, egg, bacon and spam, egg, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, bacon, sausage and spam, spam, egg, spam, spam, bacon and spam, spam, sausage, spam, 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 bacon, spam, tomato and spam, 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 egg and spam, 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 bacon, spam, 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 spam.
Have you got anything without spam?
Well, the spam, egg, sausage and spam. That's not got much spam in it.
I don't want any spam.
Why can't she have egg, bacon, spam and sausage?
That's got spam in it.
Hasn't got as much spam in it as spam, egg, sausage and spam, has it?
Could you do me egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam then?
Yeah.
What do you mean, I don't like spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Vikings, you can't have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam.
I don't like spam.
Shh, dear, don't cause a fuss. I'll have your spam. I love it. I'm having spam, 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 baked beans, spam, spam, spam and spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Well, can I have her spam instead of the baked beans, then?
You mean spam, 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 and spam?
Lovely spam, wonderful spam, 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 wonderful spam, lovely spam, wonderful spam, spam, spam.
Hi, folks. I'm Joe Gilliam. Unfortunately, Margie from MAPS hasn't arrived yet, and so we're just going to go ahead and start. I started in all of this mess about 5 years ago, believe it or not. I'm an AOL user. I've been an AOL user for as long as I can remember. Actually started on the Genie bulletin boards way back when. But I started getting 50, 60, 100 junk mail spams a day. And I could not figure out why. And for the life of me, my email account was getting to the point where if I connected via a modem, which is all I had at the time, just to get my email, I'd have to sit there and wait 15, 20 minutes just to download all the garbage. That was just not working out. So I started doing a little research, trying to find out what was wrong, or what was wrong with me, because most of this is personality related. It's not, well, 90% of it's personality related. 10% of it is other things. We'll get into that in a minute. So, after about 2 years of research and figuring out what I was doing wrong, my email dropped down to 5 spams a week. And all of a sudden, my life changed again. I was in a position where I was now on hate lists. Now, anybody who has ever complained about spam to their ISP has seen a little of this. You get these emails back saying, gee, we're sorry, we can't help you because we didn't, our provider wasn't the source of this. Okay. As it stands now, 1 year later, after the last spam panel I did, I am now on 5 different hate lists. And as a result, I'm getting aggravation spams. I'm getting a number of, I won't call them hate spams, but I will get gibberish spams. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that because they're coming from anonymous sources and so forth. But what I'd like to do today is talk to average users out there who are being overloaded and what you can do to stop this. What behavior you're using that's causing the problem. Because ultimately, these mass market emailers want to send spam. They want strict numbers. They want email addresses. They're getting a couple of pennies a piece to send these things out. And you start doing the math. You do 1 million email address spam run, start doing the numbers. That's how they get paid. They don't get paid by referrals. They get paid by the number of email messages they physically send. Now, I'm not going to get involved in the technical issues because that would take us 5 or 6 hours to go through. But so we're just going to talk about behavior today. How many of you are AOL users? I want to see hands. I got 1, 2. Okay. How many of you are Earthlink? Okay. There's a number of others. Too many to go into now. But how many of you use the news groups? How many of you post with your real email address? Not anymore. Good answer. Okay, sir. You need to get something different.
I don't see why I should alter my behavior because of these junk emailers and their personality.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that. Okay.
I invite spam because I love them to play back to their ISP and get their website shut down.
Thank you, sir. This gentleman has got the clue. Okay. But we want to talk to everybody else. You seem to have a clue of what's going on. We're going to talk to everybody else. Email spammers. Unsolicited commercial email, unsolicited bulk email, UBE, UCE, spam, whatever you want to call it. It's basically just junk being sent out so that they can get their message across. They collect email messages, or they collect email addresses by a number of means. They use bots. They go through the news groups. They look at AOL profiles. They do every time you use your email address in any kind of transaction, it's recorded and somehow used for later use. Now, they collect lists. People sell their lists of addresses. That's how they harvest email addresses. They go out. They look. Some websites actually harvest cookies, which in some cases contain your email address. That is, especially if you get caught on one of the porno sites in a a click storm. While all of that's going on, you're getting a cookie, and that cookie is somehow, I won't go into it too deep, but somehow reporting your email address. That's basically how these people make their living. They harvest email addresses and continue to harass you and everybody else on the internet with all of this junk. What can we do about it? Unfortunately, there are some legal cases going on, and Margie isn't here today, and I wish she was, because there's a big case against Media 3 and MAPS right now. And as a result, we don't know all the details, but we do know that there was a little give and take on both sides, and Media 3 has backed off, and so has MAPS. As long as there are clear opt-in, opt-out rules, and I'll explain that in a minute, we're okay. As long as we can control how they use their email lists, that works. I don't care how the decision was made. I don't care what the decision was, just as so long as it's controlled. Opt-in. That means you want to be on this email list. You give your permission through double-ended, single-ended. It doesn't matter. You said yes. Opt-out means you get put on the list whether you like it or not. You're given the option to get out of it by opting out. That's what that means. Okay. As a result of all of this politics and all of my activities on the internet, those two email addresses get hammered pretty hard. Like this gentleman back in the corner here, I have chosen not to change my email addresses. I've chosen to fight. Now, I'm not the best technical person out there, even though I'm tongue-tied behind my eye tooth half the time, and I'm verbally dyslexic, so it's a little difficult for me to speak to you, but I'm a Unix systems administrator, and I'm NT certified. So I do have some computer skills, believe it or not. So just because I'm an AOLer doesn't mean I'm stupid. Okay? So let's get that one out of the way. I'm going to kind of see if we can play games here. We've covered this one, don't y'all think? We've covered this one. Guess what? You do. Okay. The reason you pay is because you lose your bandwidth. All this mail is hitting these poor system administrators out there who are managing these ISPs. They're getting socked. They're writing filters every day trying to block all of this stuff. They get spam runs, 5, 10, 15,000 emails at once. And they get these storms of email coming in, and they're trying to shut it down. Well, while all of this is happening, and you're Joe user, you just want to log into your website, or you just want to log into somebody's website and go surfing, you've lost some of your speed. That's one reason. That's one way you pay. The second way is if you're a dial-up, you use a dial-up account, you get socked like I did, you pay, because somehow or another, your email is going to be delayed. Your internet access is going to be delayed. If you are in the unfortunate case where you have to pay for the amount of time that you're on, so you're not on an unlimited account, guess what? You're paying for that. And as far as I'm concerned, this is not free speech. Although a lot of mass market emailers will say, well, it's my free speech right to do this. He says, no, it's not free. So that's why you pay the bill.
In certain American cities and in much of the rest of the world, you're on metered mobile telephone service where you quite literally pay by the minute.
Yes, that's quite true. What he just said is there's metered email. where you literally pay for every second you're online. Give us an example.
In Pittsburgh, all business telephone service is metered. There's no such thing.
In Pittsburgh.
Oh. In England and Ireland, all phone service, residential and otherwise, is that way.
Who's got the remote microphone? Oh, okay. All right, well then, all of you folks are getting socked hard. Okay? Now, we're going to talk some more about this later. And you should see my compressed email. I'm going to show y'all some stuff here in a little while. Okay. How do ISPs deal with stuff? You can have a mom and pop ISP that out in the middle of nowhere that don't have any staff. They're sitting trying to just manage what they've got. And then all of a sudden, a spammer discovers they've got an open relay. We'll explain that in a minute. And they start bombarding their servers with all this junk mail. So they're getting calls from all over the country. You're sending me spam. Will you stop? I says, we're not sending you spam. Yes, you are. It's got your IP address on it. Well, about that time, they pick up the phone and they start calling for help because they don't know what's going on. They've been hacked. All right. And fortunately for us, there are organizations like MAPS and Mail and Abuse, some of the others, Orbs. Yes, that will help the mom-and-pop ISPs with things like open relays. By the way, an open relay is a machine that allows automatic transfer of email from in to out, and you don't know what happened. That's an open relay. What is an AUP? Who knows what an AUP is? Aha. Acceptable use policy. What that means is the ISP clearly states what they will allow and what they won't allow, and they live by it. Now, that has caused some problems because some of their wording is rather obscure, but at least they have one. And the RBL. Who knows what the RBL is? Real-time black hole list. That is it's not anything by law. It is strictly a voluntary service, and Margie is one of the people who runs the RBL. That's why I was kind of hoping she'd be here, but that's okay. The RBL allows the blocking of at least 60% of the internet. The people who subscribe to the RBL literally let the RBL decide who will have access to their sites and who won't, whether that be Sprint, whoever. So ultimately, as a volunteer program, it's been a big stick. It's very hard to get an abuser in the RBL. It's that way deliberately. It takes a nomination. It takes several phone calls. It takes a case history. It takes, in some cases, documented inactivity on the part of the ISP involved, or the carrier. UUNet, among others, Media3, all of those people have had their share of RBL nominations, and Media3 just finally fixed their problem by somehow complying. We don't know what the whole thing was, but at least they complied. So that's the real-time black hole list. That's our club. That's our weapon. Now, not only do we have the RBL, we also have these tired old systems administrators who sit in front of their Unix servers and sit in front of their NT servers, and they're constantly writing filters. They see a spam run. Well, they write a filter. It sends it straight to null. That's a lot of what happens in the background. So when you pick up the phone and you call your ISP and say, "Hey, man, I'm getting spam. Hey, what are you doing?" I says, I didn't sign up for all of this garbage. And that poor old tired systems administrator on the other end is going to say, "Well, gee, I'm sorry. We're trying to do the best we can. I'm sorry we can't help you right this minute, but give us a little time and we'll take care of it." That's his polite answer. Some people have gotten less than that, for sure. So don't go beating up on your ISP right away just because you're getting spam. They're doing the best they can. You know, that's what a white hat versus a black hat. A white hat is a good guy. Now, the black hat, that's a situation where the ISP or the carrier is getting paid a huge amount of money to be the carrier for this spammer. Whether that was known in the beginning or not, the carrier decided that it would be better to take the storm of complaints than to kill his money. And that's why the RBL exists. Okay, we're going to take a few questions. Am I going a little fast for you? Oh, okay. You want me to go faster? All right. You notice I say limit and not stop. No matter what you do, there's always going to be dictionary attacks. It's literally where they just go through every combination of email name that they can figure out and just dump it. And if it doesn't go through, they don't care. They just overload the poor ISP's front end. Their mail servers, everything, wham, you just go for it. And they may get 50% hits. They don't care. We talked about harvesting email addresses. Are y'all fairly understanding of what they're doing and how they're doing it? Some of that is user's behavior. You get out there, you play on the internet, all of a sudden you're getting spam. One of the things I'm going to recommend to everybody is have a trash account. Have an account that does not accept email. Or if it does, you don't care because you never check it. Okay? And use that for all of your playing around. Now, AOL gives you 7 email addresses. I've got 1 email address which will not receive email under any circumstance. It's a legitimate address. All emails turned off. I'll tell you what it is. It's grumblefox@AOL.com. And that's how I deal with certain things. But my 2 live addresses that I use all the time, I'm still getting hammered. Dictionary spams, you name it. They're just coming after me all the time. Go for it.
On that list was Usenet newsgroups and mail lists. Usenet newsgroups, if you ever put your real address up there, they're going to get it very quickly. Mail lists that are private, that are devoted to a specific community, that don't have an enormous distribution, are relatively safe because they're not a big enough target to be a target of opportunity. The problem that a lot of people don't realize is if you're on a mailing list that is silently gatewayed to a news group, I don't know how many of those are left today. It used to be fairly common.
Oh, yeah. Yes. As many ways as they can figure out how to patch these holes, the spammers come out with something else. That's right. They can't collect what they can't see, but they can sure dictionary attack you. The number one rule, if you walk out of this room with one thing in your head, if you see a remove me icon embedded in an email address, don't do it. Stay away from it, because what you've done literally is confirm that you're a live address. You'll never hear the end of it from then on. So, number one rule, and I take this to the bank, never hit remove me. Never send an email return to the sender saying remove me from this list. Because all you've done is confirmed your address. And you're stuck. From then on, your email address is going to be sold right down the line. So that's the name of that tune. Now, I mentioned something here about broadband access. How many of y'all have DSL or cable? You having any problems? No problems yet? I got some... doesn't matter. One of the things that I strongly suggest, if you're using your broadband account or you're using your broadband provider to go to these other email services, you might want to consider a firewall, because there are Trojans. There are little embedded programs in some of the pictures that we've been... This forum has been talking about all these worms and Trojans and viruses all along. They're behavior-oriented. You've got to click on them. But once they have an IP address, at that point, your machine's unprotected. I mean, you have ports open, you have services running, you have servers running. You don't even know you've got them running. So my advice... get a firewall. I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's hardware or software. By the way, I am a proud user of Norton Antivirus and Norton Internet Security. I paid for it, and it has been worth its weight in gold. So that's just... other people have been shy about recommending products. I'm Joe User. I don't have... a connection with anything, so I can tell you what I like, and I like the Norton products. You got to pay for them, but they're worth it.
I'll go a step beyond what Joe just said. I'm a computer security professional. This is what I do. The issue of spam is a little bit disconnected from DSL or cable, but the advice is very valid. I also happen to like the Norton antivirus product. I do not like any of the software firewalls. For give or take $99, please go out and buy a Linksys or a D-Link or any of those common network brand names. What they call them is, they call them DSL firewalls or something like that. They're not firewalls. They're simple NAT devices. For the most part, you plop it in there, you configure it once, you forget about it forever, and the vast majority of these attacks out there simply have no way of getting to you anymore. You still have to act correctly. Because if you receive an email with a virus in it and you click on it, there ain't nothing in the world protects you from your own stupidity. But I do prefer the hardware over the software firewalls.
And he's absolutely correct. All right, so just so that everybody... can you read this? This is the Media 3 release. This is what appeared and the links. This was what happened with Media 3 and Maps. This is the public press release. Can you read it? A controversial anti-spam group said Friday that it has removed a web hosting company from its list of suspected junk mail emailers. the second high-profile withdrawal it has made from its database this month. Media 3 Technologies last year requested a court order that it be removed from the Mail Abuse Prevention System, that's MAPS, database. MAPS is the keeper of the RBL, a collection of IP addresses that allegedly, see, I'm tongue-tied around my eye, too. Sorry about that. Allegedly host spammers. Some of the Internet service providers used the list to block unwanted email. MAPS said the two groups settled the lawsuit Thursday. Terms of the settlement were not disclosed. However, MAPS says the court denied Media 3's request for a temporary restraining order. Media 3 could not be immediately reached for comment. And y'all can get up here and read the rest of it. That's the meat of it. I want to open the floor to questions now.
So basically, Media 3 wanted a court order to stop someone from blocking their spam?
That's right.
Saying that we should be legally allowed to waste everybody's bandwidth and send them all this garbage?
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
They were denied, but there was an agreement between MAPS and Media 3. I don't know what that agreement was, but they dropped them from the list. Now, this is the reason I'm showing this is the current environment that we're living in, where the legal minds are picking the spam issue apart. So there's a lot of fighting in the courts now over what we believe is our right to control our own email boxes. Everybody else wants to get in our email box, all this spam.
Joe, if you'd like, I can summarize briefly one of the technical distinctions. You can't stop commercial postal mail from landing in your mailbox. Exactly. What he said, the reason is they pay for it. The U.S. postal system requires the person sending the junk mail to you to pay to send the junk mail to you. You unfortunately have to take pieces of dead trees and throw them into a landfill, which I personally find abhorrent, but you are not being directly charged for it. On the Internet, it doesn't work that way, and there is an approximate parallel which is subject of many of the attempts at legislating this, which is you cannot be sent a fax without your approval. If you're a private residence, if you are a business, the rules are a little bit different, but there are protections built in. The reason is that receiving a fax costs you money. It occupies your telecommunications time. It takes paper and ink and lifetime of a fax machine. As a result, the government passed a law some years ago saying, in essence, junk faxes are theft, and you can sue the faxer for $500 per incident. That's the basis for some of the anti-spam laws that have been attempted. None of them have yet stood up, and honestly, I don't know why.
Okay, folks, this is my real-life email account, and this is a piece of spam. What stands out? Here's the bad part. Everything's forged. Everything. Yeah. The only thing that is not forged is maybe one IP address buried in this set of headers. Yep. Go ahead.
Who's got the mic?
Have you done any research as far as the different kinds of spam that you get? Because, I mean, I get a lot of junk mail it's a fake advertisement. It's not even real spam. It's just garbage that is sent in. And occasionally I'll get a piece of spam that's nothing but a little string of numbers that have no meaning to me. What is that?
Well, that's just one start of it. Viruses, dictionary spams, harassment spams, baiting you to hit the remove me button.
Wasn't there a law passed, or did someone attempt to pass a law that required spammers to put the remove thing in there?
Yeah. Total and complete garbage. That's right. That's right. I sent a complaint to MSN, knowing full well that the MSN account, let me see if I can get to it. I'm going to show you all that one.
Well, when you said that you got spam with just numbers and things in it, that's probably a form of text that they call Big Five. And basically, it's a foreign language translation, usually Chinese or Taiwanese or something like that. They don't even care if you speak the same language. They'll send spam out.
And why are you getting this email? Because they get paid a couple of pennies an email to send out this junk.
I knew how far it had gone when I received my first spam in Spanish.
Yeah. I see quite a lot. That's an open relay, yes. That's right. Did everybody hear that? This is a response from MSN. And they're quite right. I knew that this email did not come from them. But I told them anyway. I'm going to show you. What I said. This was the original complaint. This is a typical nuke or a LART. Okay. I try to be a little comic about it because you got to maintain a little bit of a sense of humor, but I think they got the message, don't you?
I'd like to offer a minor criticism.
Of course, go ahead.
If you have verified that the two, or rather the return address is forged, or at least if you are fairly strongly certain of it, don't send the message to that particular abuse department because they have enough real abuse complaints to deal with.
That's right. And I did make that clear, but what you don't see is a second email that was sent to them. This was sent to a general mass.
I would have to take issue with that because I always, you know, the from is usually almost always forged. It's one of the easiest things to forge in it. And I always send a message to the ISP that's listed in that from address. And I usually also include a link to what they call the flowers.com lawsuit. That's where the flowers.com was once forged in an email from address, and they sued the spammer and got 5 digits worth of damage from them.
Happens occasionally.
So it's the choice of whether they want to go after these people for abusing their domain name like that. And it's just a matter of, you know, letting them know about it. And I spell that out in the message.
Just in answer to that, yes, there are a very, very small number of primarily very large ISPs that are willing to expend the enormous cost of a lawsuit to block a spammer from abusing their name with a forged from header. The simple fact is that so many people get these things and automatically complain to them because they don't know how to tell the difference that we simply don't need to send a copy to those ISPs. They're getting enough evidence without those of us who can tell the difference.
And there is a lot of controversy as to exactly how. By the way, remember I told you my junk email address is Grumble Fox? Well, this is Star Shadow Grumble Fox. That's my that picture was 8 weeks. That's a Welsh Corgi. Anyway, there's a lot of argument, even within the spam community, as to how to do things. This is way beyond me, Joe, user. I don't participate in the operations of ISPs. I don't participate in making policy. I'm just Joe, user. When I watch all of this stuff, I watch the bulletin boards. I watch I'm going to mention the name, SpamL, which is a private list of people who are mostly administrators for ISPs, mail abuse, and stuff like that. Those people have the burden of fixing this problem. Fortunately for me, I just have to deal with 5 or 10 spams a week. I'm lucky. I don't have to sit behind that console at that ISP and try to fight off 10,000 spams dumped on me at once. So I consider myself very lucky that I get 2 to 5 spam a week. So any more questions?
Yes, you talked earlier about behavior and so forth, and I know you were just talking, I think, about where you go and what you do, but I seem to get an awful lot of porno-type spams, and I've never been to a porno site. Number one, I don't know how I get those, but number two, I'm wondering, is there some way that I can target those because of the offensive nature of them?
There is only one way that you can do this. Do you have children? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say this, and you take it however you want to. An ISP, when they discover spam goes to a minor that is porno in nature, they hop all over that. They jump fast. If you have children and those children are receiving spam of a porno nature, you can be guaranteed that the ISPs, service providers, carriers will jump on that first. That's probably the fastest response you'll get to a complaint is, this is going to my minor children. Whether you decide you want to lie and say you have minor children or not is up to you. But, well, it may not completely help all the time, but it will put your, you will get attention. Some, anyway. This gentleman is right.
I'd like to offer some practical advice. If any of you run a web server, especially IIS, or any other software component that comes with the ability to receive mail, anything that has a mail server or an SMTP server built into it, make damn sure you turn it off. Otherwise, in the default configuration, you will often become a mail relay, and it will not take long for somebody to figure it out. Here's the nasty thing about what mail relays do. If I want to send a piece of mail through your mail server, let's say you have a mail server running because you're running IIS and you have not configured it to block relaying, I connect to your mail server. Trivial. I can do this just by plain old typing. I don't need any special software. I tell it that my name is msn.com, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and I want to send mail to you and you and you and him and him and him and her and her. I type this piece of junk mail once, and I put 5,000 addresses on it. I've spent 3 or 4 seconds connected to your computer, if I'm doing this automatically, and I have sent you a grand total of 10, 12 kbytes worth of data. I connect and go away from the stolen or temporary ISP account I just used. Your computer spends the next several hours trying to shove out all of those messages. And then your ISP comes beating down your door after it's turned off your account completely and sent you a bill or a legal threat. Or more likely, they've just shut off your account temporarily and tried to contact you to tell you what's happened, if they're nice people. Because you have just sent a whole bunch of spam. You didn't know it. As I said, if you've got IIS or anything that's capable of being a mail server, an SMTP server, turn it off unless you know exactly what you're doing with it. And there was there's one other area I'm trying to remember. I'll come back to you.
Well, I don't know that those people who are on wideband access, like DSL or cable, you're the victims of what he just talked about, because they're not going to want to mess with a dial-up account. They're going to want to mess with us guys who have cable modems or DSL. That's where your danger is with that. If you're running 98 or 95, if you've got a firewall, you're fairly safe. You know, most people are not going to want to mess with you. If you're running NT4 or Windows 2000 or a Linux or one of those other operating systems, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. Be sure Open Relay is turned off. He's right. But most of you would never know this until it's too late. The technology behind what is going on here is incredible. The cat and mouse games are incredible. One-upmanship. Hackers deliberately playing zombie games, running bots. Systems that, see, this gentleman back here knows what I'm talking about. The proliferation of, and this is somewhat connected to spam, but it's all connected sooner or later, is there's a culture out there that is looking to exploit the resources available, and spam is just one of them. Okay, any more questions? Yes, like, you do. This can become a very technical discussion, and I was trying not to do that.
Or even without getting too deeply into the technical parts, it would be nice to have a little quick thing on how to read a header, how to use NSLookup and Whois, little things like that.
Okay, there is one thing that I'm going to suggest, and I was going to get around to this just before the end of the panel. samspade.org. is your best friend. If you ever decided that you were going to make a complaint and you wanted to know who this bastard is, the tools are on Sam Spade. There are some nice tutorials, some good reading. I recommend that you start there. And there are links to other sites. There's numerous sites on how to combat spam, but start at Sam Spade.
Two other specific recommendations. One is don't ever commercially respond to any kind of electronic mail advertisement you get unless you know you asked to be subscribed to the mail list. Because, well, no, I don't mean that. I mean don't do business with an advertisement that shows up unsolicited in your mailbox. Because the companies that pay the spammers to send out the advertisements are encouraged by your actually doing business with them as a result of it. Just don't. You might even, if it's a legitimate company whose service or product is advertised, send a note to the company saying, look, you were being advertised by spam. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't, but I'm not going to do business with you as a result. The other thing is that you can go looking, even if you don't want to learn how to read headers and how to respond to spam, go to any of the file services and type the word spam in, and you'll get free or commercial programs you can download that will automatically sift your incoming mail and get rid of some of it so you just never have to see it, even though it will still be there.
Also,
go ahead.
At 10 o'clock tonight, we have another panel, Hacking 201, Advanced Questions. This is also one of those types of topics that we do like to cover. It covers security. It covers personal and network responsibility. These are type of questions are very welcome. We look for these.
Okay. This gentleman brought up a good point, and I want to comment on it. I recently got a Viagra spam and a couple of other steroid pharmaceutical spams that listed a 1-800 number. I said, gee, a 1-800 number. I picked up the phone and I called him, and I got this very tired secretary on the other end who had been getting calls from this one spam run all day long. And she says, well, if you're not going to tell me your email address, I'm going to have to talk to you later. Bye. I said, hold on. I'm friendly. I'm nice. I said, these are my two email addresses. I want to be removed. Do you know what happened? And she said, yeah, the marketing guy that we hired went to bulk email, and we realized we made a mistake. And they freely acknowledged that they weren't going to let this happen again, because the phone calls they were getting because of that one spam was overloading their switchboards. So complaining works. Yes.
The 800 numbers to call that are in the spam, don't forget that if you use a public payphone to make that call, they get charged an extra 30 cents per call.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, they paid the poor marketing bulk mailer so much money to do this, and the bulk mailer gets 1 or 2 cents of spam. So, yeah, use the payphone. What this all comes down to is, let's follow the money. That's what it's all about. The whole issue with spam is how to make money fast. And they figured out a way to abuse the system to the point that they're making money. And as long as they can make money, there will be spam. So what we have to do is shut down the websites that are being advertised, or as I say, spamvertised. Go after ISPs who are friendly to this thing. That's what the RBL is for. In general, always complain, never delete. Always complain, never delete. Never delete spam. Always complain. If you've got the time, find out who. By the way, there are a couple of websites that allow you to send your spam to them, and they will automatically forward them to the abuse department. That's if you go to Sam Spade, you can find the links to those sites. There's a wealth of information out there that would take too long. I wish I had put up a resources list. I didn't bring it with me this time, but if you go to samspade.org, you'll find almost everything you need. Go ahead.
The spammers, when I get them on the phone, they like to say, oh, just hit delete. Well, what I like to tell them is, oh, I do, but my delete button is attached to your website.
And that's also another cat and mouse game. They bury their website. That's another thing that Sam Spade will allow you to do. It will allow you to find out where their web page is being hosted. You can actually track it back using Sam Spade. Now, those tools, there's a lot of tools out there that you can use, RDNS, Whois, NSLookup. Yes. There are tutorials on how to use all of that on Sam Spade. I recommend everybody here go and look at that page. You will learn a lot, especially if you've got an abused mailbox. Thank y'all. I appreciate you listening to me.